Howbeit we speak among them that are mature. The reason for failure is the lack of wisdom. For favor to be sustained, wisdom is required. They are won by divine wisdom. And I'm ahead of his word. No man can operate by the wisdom of God and his word. It's not possible.
You are welcome to Wisdom Series with Dr. Paris Amirwell.
Christ is two things to us. And that means for fullness of God to be made manifest on the earth, the two dimensions must be expressed. Number one is the power of God. Number two is the wisdom of God. The Bible says Christ, the power and the wisdom of God. Meaning nothing can be completely done on the earth without power and wisdom. We said the reason for failure and frustration is the lack of wisdom. We describe what wisdom is. Number one, we said wisdom is intelligence with discretion. We said wisdom is creative intelligence. Wisdom is a right use of knowledge. Hallelujah. In Proverbs it says, I, wisdom, dwell with prudence. I find out knowledge of witty inventions, right? Okay, is intelligence but with discretion. If you think deeply, you understand why I added that. Intelligence but with discretion. Intelligence but with discretion. You know, a man said something that education without God will produce clever devils. So we are not just talking about intelligence. We are not just talking about creative intelligence. But when wisdom is at work, there is discretion. There is ethical intuition. You do things with ethics. So when that is lacking, we know wisdom is not at work. The wisdom of God is not at work. Glory to God. And we journeyed so far, very, very far. Last week, in the first service, we completed our talk on opening your mind for the flow of divine wisdom. We said wisdom is spiritual, but the flow of wisdom is through the mind and through the mouth. In this kingdom, if you understand how to manage these two things, you are a winner. How to manage your mind and how to manage your mouth. The seat of wisdom is spiritual, but it flows to produce results in the earth realm through the mind and through the mouth. We said the first thing in allowing the wisdom of God flow through your mind to bless the earth, to clear things, to produce results, to be productive, is by opening your mind. The reason I pause was this. Do you know someone can be blessed and unproductive? Because the concept of the blessing is legal. Moving into the vital experience is what we're talking about. And that is letting the wisdom of God flow through you. Flowing through your mind, position your mind. We said the first thing is the love for knowledge. The Bible says the wise man loveth knowledge. The ears of the wise seeketh knowledge. We said the knowledge of earthly things, relevant knowledge of earthly things around you, will position your mind for the flow of wisdom from heaven. That means there is a lot you can articulate, even though God is bringing to you, if you are not aware of the knowledge in the earth realm. Hallelujah. And we proved that from scriptures. One of the things we highlighted was this, that it wasn't coincidence that the man who wrote the highest number of books in the Old Testament went to school. And also the man who wrote the highest number of books in the New Testament went to school. Moses and Paul. Glory to God. And we said their minds were better positioned because of the knowledge of earthly things. Because of their desire. Look at what Paul said. He said, bring my books, my parchments. Glory to God. I'm studying the Bible, so that's why it's falling apart. Did you ever see that picture? Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord. He says, bring my books, bring the parchments, especially the parchments. It tells us what manner of man Paul was. He was a studious man. He was a man who had love for knowledge. He was a man who was given to study. He told his son Timothy the same thing. He said, give attention to jacking. He's there. He said, give attention to reading. Give attention to reading. Give attention to reading. He says, study to get your certificate from God. That's what that scripture is saying. Study to show yourself approved unto God. Meaning, you get your certification from God, approved you. That certification.
Glory to God.
Study to show yourself approved unto God. A workman that needed not to be ashamed. Rightly dividing the word of truth. Rightly dividing the word of truth. Hallelujah. We said, you are not to slow down in your acquisition of relevant knowledge until you produce the desired results. That means if the result has not come yet, there's something you don't know. You must position your mind that way. That look, if I'm not having what I desire, there's something I'm yet to know. There's a positioning of my mind that is required that I don't have yet. So you keep studying along that line. You keep learning. You keep asking questions. You keep seeking mentorship. Are you listening to me? This is how life works on the earth. Hallelujah. The second thing we said was loving God. Your love life can open your mouth for the flow of wisdom. I mean your mind for the flow of wisdom. The Bible says Solomon loved the Lord. His love was demonstrated by his sacrifice, his offering. And what happened? At that night at Gibeon, God appeared. He said, Solomon, what do you want? And his father had taught him right to choose wisdom. And he told God, I need discretion. I need judgment. I need wisdom. And God says, since you have asked, I have given you wisdom. Hallelujah. I have given you wisdom. So love for God, love for people, opens your mind for the flow of divine wisdom. You see, God flows in the atmosphere of love. God flows in the atmosphere of love. By extension, the wisdom of God flows in the atmosphere of love. You know, I believe it was James that was describing the wisdom of this world. He says, devilish, full of evil works. But he says, wisdom that is from above is pure, easy to be entreated. You know what he's saying? There's a wisdom from above. And that wisdom operates with the character of God, which is love. Which is love. Which is love. And when we say above, don't look to the sky. A dimension where God lives. And God has told us that part of that dimension is where? Within us. Amen. Where the Holy Spirit lives. With the throne of God. Do you know that God is sitting on his throne in your heart? The King lives in your heart. The King lives in your heart. The King lives. Listen, the throne of a king is not a chair. Imagine Queen of England leaving England and coming to Nigeria. The question is she still on the throne? Because she's still on the throne. Her seat may be is it Buckingham's Palace? But see, the throne doesn't make the king. The throne is where the king is. The location, the current location of the monarch is the throne. Is the position of the throne. Do you understand? So God is enthroned in our hearts. God has his abode in us. And he didn't leave his wisdom behind. Hallelujah. He didn't leave his wisdom behind. The Holy Spirit you have is the same Holy Spirit Jesus had. That made him produce these mighty works. There's no junior Holy Spirit. There's no teenage Holy Spirit. Do you understand? So I'm a there's no teenage Holy Spirit. Do you understand? There's no local Holy Spirit. Oh, hallelujah. The same Spirit. It's the same Spirit. The same Spirit. Glory to God. The same Spirit. Producing wisdom within us. The vision of wisdom is the word of God. Meaning what wisdom sees is the word of God. The contemplations of wisdom is the word of God. For example, you can know Proverbs 11, 24 to 25 and make foolish financial decisions and be broke. That's what wisdom sees. That's what wisdom contemplates. Remember I said the root of wisdom is the word of God. The voice of wisdom is the word of God. Proverbs 11, 28 for me. He says, there is he that scattereth, yet increaseth. That's the wisdom of God. There is he that withholds more than his meat, yet turneth to penury, turns to poverty. How can a man increase by scattering? That's the wisdom of God. That's the wisdom of God. That's the wisdom of God. I made up my mind years ago not to go in the direction of man's wisdom. Listen, there's man's wisdom, but there's God's wisdom. God's wisdom revealed to us by his word. There is that scattereth, yet increaseth. There is that withholds more than is meet, but tends to poverty. Put up the next verse. Look at this. The liberal soul shall be made fat. He's not talking about physical fatness. Enlarged capacity. Enlarged capacity. The liberal soul shall be made fat. You enlarge within. You stretch the boundaries of your mind by living the scripture. The vision of wisdom is the word of God. The contemplations of wisdom is the word of God. You can't see this and fail. You know, the Spirit of God showed me something and I was just excited. Let me show you. Jonah. Some of you don't like reading the book of Jonah. Eh? Because of what you were taught in Bible in Sunday school. Some of you don't like reading the book of Jonah. Jonah chapter 2, put it up for me. Jonah chapter 2, verse 7 to 10. Let me tell you something. I don't know of another place there could be where there are very few scriptures where we have very outlined way, step by step way of getting out of predicament.
Yes.
Than what I'm about to show you. You see, I'm talking about the vision of wisdom. It was well outlined. You are where you don't want to be. This is how to get out. He said, my soul fainted within me. I remembered the Lord. How do you remember the Lord? You don't know God outside the revelation of his word. So saying I remember the Lord, he's saying I remember what the word of God says about God. Hallelujah. You cannot know God outside the revelation of his word. God's word is his revelation to us. Apart from that, you are in superstition. Come on now. There's no other way. You are in presumption. God can only be known by his revelation through scriptures. Apart from that, he's tales by moonlight. Old wives' fables. What they were gisting about, you are talking about Amadiwa and Shango. Oh, there's no, how else? What else do you know about God outside his word? He says, I remembered the Lord. That's the first thing. That's the first thing. When your soul fainteth within you, that's the first thing. Remember the Lord. Remember the Lord. Remember the Lord. What has he said? He has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. So that you may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I will not be afraid what man can do unto me. Remember the Lord. What's the next thing? And my prayer came unto thee into thy holy temple. That's the next thing. Prayer. He says, is any afflicted, let him pray. The Bible says, no, Jonah prayed in the belly of the fish. No, how comfortable was he? How comfortable? That means you pray even when there's discomfort. No, I love that chance. He says, any afflicted, not let him make phone calls. Let him pray. You don't know how to go about it. It looks like a predicament. Let him pray. Let him pray. If you don't know what to say, just start singing. Just start singing. I'm praying in tongues. With your mind on the Lord. Remember, he said, I remembered the Lord. You don't just go to pray with human mind. No, with a remembrance of the Lord. Let him pray. Let him pray. He was in discomfort in the belly of the fish. Jonah prayed in the belly of the fish. Let him pray. See, when you want change, it's no cold. You don't know there is cold, though. Seriously. When the Spirit of God gets a hold of your spirit and you want to bear things, you can't be saying there's cold, you're under the blanket, or it's too hot. No. Your body will be subdued. I told you before, if you have not, listen, your body can be broken like you break a horse. To say the truth. Any, if you are still a slave of your body, you are still a slave. Because after redemption, after Jesus came and paid the price and we got born again, you must allow the word of God dominate your mind and your body. It's compulsory. That is your mission as a Christian, one of your primary missions as a Christian. So that your senses don't tell you what to do. If your physical senses are still telling you what to do, you are sensual. And the Bible says the carnal mind is enmity with God. You always be at cross purposes with God. Is any afflicted, let him pray. He says, I prayed, my prayer came unto you in the holy. Look at the next thing. They that observe lying vanities forsake their own mercy, attitude, disposition. That means, yeah, the thing is still there. The thing is still there. You have remembered the Lord, you prayed about it. What do you do? Refuse to observe lying vanities. Refuse to observe lying vanities. They say there's a growth in the body. You remember the Lord, you prayed about it, and you looked at it, the growth is still there. You tell it you are a lying vanity. You refuse to observe lying vanities. The Bible says Abraham considered not his body, neither the necrosis of Sarah's womb, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God. That is not observing lying vanities. Oh, you shout, my God shall supply all my needs according to his riches in glory. Money cometh to me now in the name of Jesus. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. 24 hours later, you check your balance. Minus. I'm going to say, oh, does this world really work? No, do not observe lying vanities. He says that negative, that zero bank account is a lying vanity. Do you understand? A lying vanity. You get to your business place, you lay hands on the product, you say, clients are coming in the name of Jesus, are sold, the people are coming in the name of Jesus, remembering the Lord and speaking for those words of faith. And then 24 hours, 48 hours, and it looks like there are no movements on the outside. Don't be deceived. When you spoke, there were movements in the spirit. This is why God wants your mind to be positioned. That's the attitude there. After you remember the Lord and your prayer ascends to him into his temple, you refuse to observe lying vanities. You refuse to observe lying vanities. Let you know, if you're going to do great things with God, you must pass through this. It's compulsory. Everybody passes through it. When you declare as though nothing has changed on the outside, your attitude, your disposition is important. Refuse to observe lying vanities. He said, they that observe lying vanities forsake their mercy. That means in the belly of the womb, or in the belly of the fish. This man, Jonah, he had an attitude. He had the right attitude. He was the one that wrote this. He had the right attitude. He saw his present condition as a lying vanity. I love that construction. As a lying vanity. Every time you observe lying vanity, you sink. No, look at Peter walking on the water. What was the connection between walking on the water and the wind? Does the wind stop you from walking on the water? Because even if you block all the wind, can you walk on the water? Pull water, pull up water, and then cover everywhere, seal it, let it be airtight. Stand on the water, see if you walk. So, what's the connection between the wind and walking on the water? Is somebody following me? We call them lying vanities. Meaning they really don't have any impact. Satan just wants you to have the wrong focus. That's the next thing. Attitude. Where your gaze is fixed. He said, I know, oh my goodness. You know, growing up when I was much younger, there were scriptures that I spent time meditating on. Maybe because of the difficulties I had in different areas of my life. That Isaiah 57, right? The Lord God will help me. Therefore, I will not be ashamed. He said, therefore, I have set my face as a flint, for I know that the Lord will help me. I will put my eyes on it. I will say it 1,000 times. The Lord God will help me. I will not be ashamed. Therefore, I've set my face as a flint. That's where I'm going. Setting your face as a flint. Setting your face. A flint is an adamant rock. A rock that is not easily broken. That means you are stubborn with your faith. I've set my face like a flint. And I know that I shall not be ashamed. Why? The Lord God will help me. The Lord God. I'm hoping somebody will lead this service with this. That you don't let those things worry you. You put your eye. The Lord God will help me. I will not be ashamed. Therefore, I set my face as a flint. I set my face like an adamant rock. I set my face convinced on what he has said. That's the attitude there. Don't observe lying vanities. He says, when you observe lying vanities, you will forsake your mercy. What is your mercy? That's what God is doing. The movement of God concerning you. Though your physical eyes cannot see it, yet God is moving. God is moving. No, look at when Jesus cursed the fig tree. He cursed the fig tree and he moved. Because he had spiritual understanding, he knew that something happened when he spoke those words. When he stood and said, fig tree, no man shall eat food of thee henceforth. Jesus knew that something happened. The disciples were looking at the physical, so they didn't know. They didn't know. That was why they were surprised the next day. The Bible said Peter took notice over the fig tree that the master caused that withered from where? That means the day he spoke, something started happening in the roots, which is symbolic of the spirit. I mean, when you stand and speak words of faith, things happen in the roots. Things happen in the immediately. There will be a noise and a rattling. Immediately, when you speak for the wisdom of God, there will be a noise and a rattling. Immediately, stay there and follow through. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Please join me to welcome thousands of people to the first service this morning. Hallelujah. Thousands of people in the first service. In the first service. Hallelujah. Praise God. Glory to God. We do not observe lying vanities. Our eyes are on his mercy. All right, look at the next verse. What next do I say? You remember the Lord, you pray, you have that attitude. He said, but I will sacrifice unto thee with the voice of thanksgiving. Why is it a sacrifice? Oh, do you think, oh, you are believing God for a scholarship, for example, or for a grant, a research grant, for example, $2 million. And then the $2 million arrives. Is it a sacrifice to thank God? Talk to me, somebody. Talk to me, Chuck. Is it a sacrifice to thank God? No. Thank you. Reflex. It just happens. You just give God praise. I mean, you just... your body reflex. You just had that. Do you understand? And shouting. Yeah. There's no sacrifice for that. But look at what he said. But I will sacrifice unto thee with the voice of thanksgiving. Meaning nothing has changed on the outside yet. But he believed that when his prayer ascended, God heard him. He maintained the attitude of not observing lying vanities, but focusing on God's mercies. Sacrifice of thanksgiving. Sacrifice of thanksgiving. From time to time you must dance. You must rejoice. Not the one that happens in church, in your room, in your workplace. You understand? You must rejoice. You must dance before the mountain. Let me tell you something. If there's one thing Satan cannot stand, is this one. Satan cannot stand a believer in a predicament, rejoicing, offering unto God the sacrifice of thanksgiving. Satan cannot stand it. Satan is a proud fellow, believe me. He can't stand it. And all his demons too can't stand it. When you start rejoicing and praising and celebrating and dancing, number one, it will begin to affect your attitude. It will help you focus more on God. Number two, it's going to bring in the presence of God in an amazing way. into that situation. Number three, it's going to send the devil packing. Number three, it's going to fast track and speed up the manifestations. Look at the next thing. He said, I will pay that which I vow. That talks about sowing. Times of predicament, sow seeds. Salvation is of the Lord. Look at the next thing. And the Lord are Shebakiah. And the Lord spake unto the fish, and he vomited out Jonah upon the dry. That means these things were happening inside the belly of the fish. This is the vision of wisdom. This is why we say that real wisdom is connected to the word of God. Are you seeing it now? And people are wondering, why are you so at rest in the midst of this turbulence? They don't know that you know exactly what the outcome is going to be. When you know the outcome, your actions, what you do, become different. They don't know, but you know exactly how it's going to turn out. You are convinced. Your eyes can see. Hallelujah. Glory to God forevermore. Very quickly, Job chapter 28. Job 28. All right. The operations of wisdom for wealth and influence. We'll continue with that. That was where we stopped in second service. The operations of wisdom for wealth and influence. Let me show you this. Job 28. You know, Job is a very prophetic book. Very prophetic book. That you need the eyes of the Spirit to understand what it's saying. He's talking about wisdom here. We'll read through and draw certain things out. It's talking about the wisdom of God and the exploits of the wisdom of God. The might, the power of the wisdom of God, the efficacy of the wisdom of God. What wisdom can do in a man's life. What the wisdom of God can produce. That's what he's talking about. He said, as for the earth, out of it cometh bread, and under it is torn up as it were fire. The stones of it were the places of sapphire, and in that door of gold. 7. There is a path which no fowl knoweth, and which the vulture's eyes have not seen. You know, it's beginning to talk about wisdom. Now, prophetically, when the Bible refers to fowl and vulture, it's talking about the princes of this world. It's talking about the magicians of this world. It's talking about the demonic princes. Are you following me? Are you following me? All right. But he said, the path of this wisdom, the eyes of the fowl has not seen. The lion's whelp have not trodden it, nor the fierce lions passed by it. He putteth forth his hand upon the rock. He overturns the mountains by the roots, doing impossible things. There are no mountains before wisdom. Wisdom has the ability to overturn mountains. I told you, for every situation, there's a wisdom way out. For every situation, there's the wisdom of God to turn it around. That's what he's saying. He overturns the mountains by the roots. Look at the next verse. He cutteth out rivers among the rocks. His eyes seeth every precious thing. Wisdom has a vision. Wisdom has foresight. Wisdom can see what others cannot see. And I told you earlier, the first vision of wisdom is the word of God. Hallelujah. Sees what is not obvious to others. His eyes see every precious thing. He bindeth the floods from overflowing. And the thing that is hid, bringeth it forth to light. This is why we say this. Wisdom is at the root of invention. Have you noticed? Watch this. Have you noticed that the whole human race, from the fall of Adam to when Jesus came, was over 4,000 years? Follow me. Do you know the progress that humanity made after the coming of Jesus cannot be compared, far outweighs, thank you, all that humanity, all that the human race had attempted to do with their minds, put together for the 4,000 years. Somebody did not get it. Maybe let me break it down this way. That there was the early church, there was the dark ages, all right, when the church got into religion, got into idolatry and all that. And then we had the reformation of the, is it 14th or 15th century? We had the reformation when Martin Luther, the German priest, rebelled. or pioneered the reformation. Let me put it that way. All right, in the 15th century. Now, when you come from that reformation, and I've told you that what we have as modern civilization came out of that reformation. You can go and study it for yourself. You can go and study it for yourself. The whole work ethic, ethics, the whole economic, if capitalism came out of there. Work ethic, capitalism, and all that came out of that reformation. What happened? The eyes of people were open to see the word of God for themselves. Before that, you know what people were taught? They said the Bible was too difficult for an average priest, let alone a commoner. That was the popular thinking. So people did not have access to the word of God. The word of God, the Bible were Bibles were chained to the altar. If you're a history student, you know what I'm talking about. Why? There was no access to the wisdom of God. But see, the Bible says, in him, talking about Jesus, who is the wisdom of God, who is the word of God, in him was life, and the life was the civilization of men, was the light of men. So when men began to behold this word, inventions, civilization, increase, is somebody following me? Discoveries, creativity. So there was an explosion of scientific discoveries, scientific inventions. Why do we have patent laws? Light came. Are you seeing it now? And when you take from the 15th century to now, what has happened? Far outweighs what happened in the first 5,000 years. How? There was a difference. The wisdom of God was introduced to humanity. Is somebody listening to me? If that wisdom changed the course of the human race, how much less your simple life? If that divine intrusion of the wisdom of God into the earth realm changed humanity, I mean what we have today, oh boy. If somebody told you 1,000 years ago that you carry a device in your hand and speak to someone who is thousands of miles away, you would you have believed? You'd be like, that is witchcraft. That's what you see. You see this now? You see this? Because by witchcraft, they mean demonic forces introducing wisdom, forbidding knowledge. Glory to God. But thank God for access to God's word. Thank God. Now it's normal. You just put your phone and dial someone in the UK and just someone in Alaska and you just speak time zones apart and then you're just speaking. So if I tell you that very soon you just angulate your mouth and speak to someone thousands of miles away, will you believe? Just angulation. You say put your mouth at a particular angle and then just speak. Glory to God. No, look at the technology of, is it hologram, they call it. Or you have screen in the thin air. Just have some device. Glory to God. Glory to God. So wisdom is flowing through my mind. I always know what to do. I always know what to do. I always know what to do. Hallelujah. See, the things that were hidden, this wisdom brought to light. Brought to light. There's a strong connection between wealth and wisdom. It is no coincidence that the wisest king was the richest king. A strong connection. Wisdom begets wealth. The flow of wisdom begets wealth. So a man beaten by poverty has wisdom problems. Hallelujah. Let's leave the Job 28 very quickly as we wrap up the first service. Go to 1 Kings. 1 Kings chapter 4. Glory to God forevermore. Kai. 1 Kings chapter 4, very quickly, verse 29 to 34. Just put it up, 29 to 34. 1 Kings 4, 29 to 34. 29 to 34. Oh God Almighty. Let me remind you again, we're talking about the operations of wisdom in producing wealth and influence. Producing wealth and influence. And God gave Solomon wisdom and understanding exceeding much, and largeness of hearts, even as the sand that is in the seashore. You know, two Sundays ago, or three Sundays ago, we talked about three dimensions of wisdom. Now, in the Greek, we said the Greeks talk about Sophia, theoretical wisdom, Sunesis, critical wisdom, and then phronesis, which is what? Practical wisdom. I said that is prudence, right? Now, the Septuagint is the Greek version of the Old Testament. You understand? The Old Testament was written in Hebrew. The New Testament written in Greek. The one we have is in Greek. Is that okay? All right. But the Greeks also have an Old Testament. That means translated into Greek. So we can some of those words in the New Testament there. He said, when God gave Solomon wisdom. Go back. Okay, and God gave Solomon wisdom. That's phronesis. And understanding. That's that critical wisdom I'm talking about. Exceeding much. Ability to connect concepts. Ability to understand concepts and connect them. You know, there are people when you're talking, and they just know, I don't understand what you're saying. I don't understand what is. I can't understand this one. Lack of synesis. Do you understand? Synesis talks about the amplitude of a man's mind, the sagacity of a man's mind. When they are discussing concepts, you understand them and you can connect them. Say, I have synesis. And I told you, the Greek said, this is the wisdom responsible for civilization. So when they're talking about, well, for example, they are talking about space, and they are saying Earth is a planet, and planet is in the solar system. Okay, the solar system is in the galaxy, and the galaxy is part of the universe, right? And then our galaxy is called the Milky Way. You understand? You say what brought milk? Praise God. Listen to me. I'm not just trying to blow your mind. The operations of this thing in your life will allow God flow through you in a special way. To bless your generation. Do you understand? When you train your mind with the things you're talking about, you'll be more useful to God in the generation. That's the truth. Hallelujah. God gave Solomon wisdom and understanding exceeding much. That means his synesis was exceeding much. His understanding of concept, the amplitude of his mind, that's what he's talking about. His ability to interpret concept and connect them was exceeding much. And largeness of heart, even as the sand that is in the seashore. Next verse. And Solomon's wisdom excel the wisdom of all the children of the east countries. You know the children of the east country? Magical wisdom. And all the wisdom of Egypt. When he talks about the wisdom of Egypt, you know what he's talking about? It's spiritual. It's spiritual. And he was wiser than all men. No, so when Jesus said a greater than Solomon is here. He should do something. It's something to shout about. You read your Bible, and Jesus said, a greater than Solomon is here. So you go and read Solomon. Listen, that statement includes me. Does it include you? A greater than Solomon is here. A greater than Solomon is here. We can do simple Bible equation and agree. The Bible says John the Baptist was the greatest of them. Of all the Old Testament saints, But you see, the least in this kingdom is greater than John the Baptist. Are you convinced? For he was wiser than all men, than Ethan, the Ezraites, than Heman, than Calcol, than Dada, the son of Mahor. And his fame, watch it. And his fame was in all nations round about. Next verse, just give me. And he spake 3,000 proverbs. And his songs were 1,005. Wisdom will make you write songs. Next verse. And he spake of trees, from the cedar tree that is in Lebanon, even unto the hyssop that springeth out of the wall. Hey. He spake also of beasts and of fowl, and of the creeping things and fishes. He was giving descriptions to things. Discretionary intelligence. God cannot give you wisdom. I say, you don't understand what the professor wrote. God wrote a book, you can understand. He say, you have been a master, the whole thing is looking blood to you. You stand and declare, I have the wisdom of God. You are a marketer, you are not selling products. Confess the wisdom of God. You say, the wisdom of God has taken over my mind. And this product is moving. I'm moving from here to in the name of Jesus. I told you wisdom speaks. Wisdom speaks. And there came of all people to hear the wisdom of Solomon from all the kings of the earth, which had heard of this verse. And Hiram the king of Tyre. Okay, that's the end of that chapter, right? Glory to God. Go very quickly, go to chapter 10, verse 14. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Oh. Hey, labakasute kebaya. Now the weight of gold that came to Solomon in 1 year was 603 talents of gold. We'll expand on that in the second service. I just wanted us to go through it. Besides that, he had of the merchantmen. He had of the merchantmen and of the traffic of the spice merchants and of all the kings of Arabia and the governors of the country. Somebody say traffic. Next verse. And King Solomon made 200 targets beaten of gold. You know, target for shooting. 600 shekels of gold went into one target. Next verse. And he made 300 shields of beaten gold. 3 pounds of gold went into a shield. And the king put them in the house of the forest of Lebanon, just had a place to relax. Next verse. This one was not in Jerusalem. Moreover, the king made a great throne of ivory overlaid with gold, with the best of gold. Next verse. And the throne had 6 steps, and the top of the throne was round about lions by the side. Next verse. And 12 lions stood there on either side steps. Next verse. We're going to verse 29. We'll go through to verse 29. And all the king's drinking vessels were of gold. And all the vessels of the house of the forest of Lebanon were of pure gold. Do you understand? None were of silver. Silver was nothing accounted of in the days of Solomon. Next verse. I just wanted to expand your mind. Next verse. For the king had at sea a navy of Tarshish with the navy of Hiram. Once in 2 years came the navy of Tarshish, bringing gold and silver and ivory and apes and peacocks. Next verse. So King Solomon exceeded all the kings of the earth for riches and for wisdom. Next verse. And all the earth sought to Solomon to hear wisdom talks, to hear his wisdom, which God had put. You know why they came to hear? Because wisdom carries solutions. So when we speak wisdom consistently, we will produce results. The people will come because they see a result. You know why? When result is consistent, a law is at work. They can't deny it. They will not care about your religion. To sort, to hear the wisdom which God had put in his mouth. Next verse. And they brought every man wisdom free. Oh God. And they brought every man present, vessels of silver, vessels of gold, and garments, and armor. They were coming to hear wisdom, but they didn't come empty handed. Can you see? He was adding value. And armors and spices, horses and mules. A rate, yea by yea. Next verse.
And Solomon gathered together chariots and horsemen. And he had 8,400 chariots and 12,000 horsemen, whom he bestowed in the cities of chariots with the king at Jerusalem. Next verse, just his entourage. And the king made Silva Sibakaya. Oh my goodness. I wanted us to get here. We can stop here. And the king made Silva to be in Jerusalem as stones. As stones. Say, greater than Solomon is here. No, something has happened to your mind. A greater than Solomon is here. You no longer fast and pray for transport money. Eh? He made silver to be in Jerusalem as stones, and cedars made he to be as the sycamore trees that are in the valley for abundance. Rise to your feet. I'm out of time. With a shout. Hallelujah. Glory to God.
We believe the word of God has begun a good work in you, making you a living, working wonder on the earth. For additional messages and information, log on to www.theembassyofheaven.org. God bless you.